it's in Dunfermline town, a drink in the blood red wine. And where can I get me a good mariner to sail seven ships of mine? Up then small canal down man, a sitting at the king's right knee. He says Sir Patrick Spence is the best mariner that's ever sailed on the sea. So the king, he has written a broad letter and signed it with his hand. And he sent it to Sir Patrick Spence, a walking on the strand. And the very first line that Patrick he read, a little laugh then gave he. But the very next line that Patrick he read, the salt tears blinded his eye. Oh, who is him that's done this deed and sold the king on me? For never was I a good mariner, and never do intend to be. Late yestreen I saw the new moon, the old moon in her arms. And I fear a deadly storm, our little ship will come to harm. But rise up, my merry men all, our little ship she sails with the dawn. Whether it's a windy, or whether it's a wet, or whether there's a deadly storm. And they had not sailed a league, but barely nine. When the wind and the wet and the sleet and snow come a-blowing up from behind. Oh, where can I get me a little cabin boy to take the helm in hand? While I climb up to the top of the mast to see if I can't spy land. Come down, Sir Patrick Spence, we fear that we all must die. For in and out of the good ship's hull, the wind and the ocean fly. And the very first step that Patrick he took, the water came up to his knee. And the very next step that Patrick he took, they drowned it, they were in the sea. Many was the fine feather bed a-floating on the foam. And many was the little Lord's sons that never, never more came home. Oh, long, long may the ladies sit with their fans all in their hands before they see Sir Patrick Spence a-walking on the strand. It's 50 miles from Aberdeenshire, it's 50 fathoms deep. And there does lie Sir Patrick Spence with the little lords at his feet.
Tune to 106.1 FM WSCA LP Portsmouth. We are Portsmouth Community Radio. Hey folks, it's time for Local Folk here on Portsmouth Community Radio. I'm your host, Steve Kerrigan, and I'm bringing to you the people that make folk culture happen. Stay tuned for the music and stories of my guests, who are here to share with you all a bit of their personal histories and musical selves. Just by listening in, you're participating in local folk culture, and I hope you continue to do so by getting out there and seeing something live or buying a new CD or anything else you feel inspired to do. And My first song has given you a clue as to at least the genre that we'll be listening to tonight. But before I introduce my guest this evening, I have a few announcements, a word from our underwriters, and the weather. All righty. Why don't we go with the weather first? All right. The tall ships just left here. And I did not schedule my guest to coincide with the tall ships having left, but I will say that my guest tonight, I actually have two people in here. I have my guest, and then I have like a wing person, I have to say. Okay, so I have two people in the studio, but as is sort of traditional in Local Folk, I will be focusing mostly on one. And it's a he, and he's down from Gloucester. And he knows I'm up from Gloucester, I guess I should say. And he sings shanties. And I've been singing shanties in shanty sessions with him at least for probably 10 years with my involvement in the Portsmouth Maritime Music Festival, which is coming up the last weekend of September. He has a deep voice. And although he performed with other people, to me, and we may dispute this, but he was kind of like the leader. And I'm not sure if that's the truth or not. We're going to have to ask as we go along. Not only does he know about the music, tons of history about the music, but he actually knows about the boats. And I'm going to have to say that that is very unique, because most of the people that know the music, if they step foot on a boat, it is way at dock and it ain't going anywhere. And if it was about to go anywhere, they wouldn't want to be on it. And if they were on it, they certainly wouldn't want to climb the rigging or do anything like that. So his name's Peter Souza, and we're here with Audie Lane as well. They're here together, and we're going to talk a little bit about shanties. Welcome to Local Folk, Peter.
Good evening.
And Audie.
Good evening.
Thank you. Okay. So let's talk about this a little bit. We started with a song by who you called one of your best friends.
John Roberts.
All right. And he's one of the grand poobahs of English folk music, right?
John has been singing for 40-plus years with his partner, Tony Barron.
Yeah.
They've been together that long. Amazing, amazing team.
Yeah. I love his maritime music, and I also have to say that probably most of my repertoire for Christmas comes from him and Tony.
Absolutely. You can't miss Noel. Yeah, it's an amazing sight to see.
Now, yeah, he has another thing called Noel Sing We Clear. But let's talk about you for a minute, just in the sense that, hold on one sec. It must be the ship calling.
It's roaming.
Okay.
I'll go no more of a roaming. No.
Peter, you and Audie do an educational thing, an educational piece for children that I definitely want to talk about soon. But I would like to talk to you about how you got involved in maritime music specifically. It's not a genre. I mean, I see it a lot, but most people in the world don't really know much about it. Were you raised around this kind of music?
I grew up in a family from Newfoundland. My mom was from Newfoundland, my grandmother, and my father's family was from Portugal. So I was surrounded by seagoing people, and there were 10 in each family, and they all settled in Gloucester. I was pretty fortunate. I had a couple of sea captains on schooners, but traditional shanties weren't sung on schooners. They were on three-masted vessels, barkentines and brigs and stuff. But I always had a like for the music of the sea itself and the songs of work. And that's what kind of drove me to the direction that I kind of fell into probably 15, 17 years ago. I liked some of the stuff earlier back on in the 60s, late 60s, early 70s, that Gordon Bach did, some of the sea songs that he did, and I really enjoyed that. But I found that the shanties brought about something a little bit more cultural and also created a community spirit that you could build up and bolster up other people to do and give people a chance to sing.
A community spirit.
Yeah.
Tell me about that.
I've been running a pub sing now for about 9-10 years down in Gloucester. We started out at, Schooners. We ended up, that place closed. We went over to Cameron's, and that place closed. It wasn't because of us, but ownership issues and financial issues. But we had some nights at Cameron's that were close to 80, 90 people that would pack in there on a Tuesday without any advertising. And they came from the shanties and the sea music, and there were a few assorted other songs. And we moved down to the Cape Ann Brewery for about a year. And right now, currently, we're down at the Dog Bar in Gloucester, and we run a pub sing, Audie and I, on Monday evenings from 6 to 8:30 p.m. at the Dog Bar, and it's been going tremendously well. And we've had a lot of people stop in, some people as far as England, and Charlie Ipkar brought somebody in with him on the way back home from Mystic, and he was from England. And we've had a lot of visitors come in, and it's really nice. It's kind of a place where people can come in, try different songs, learn different songs, and feel welcomed about doing and learning about traditional music of the sea.
The first song that we listened to tonight it was a great song, but it didn't. I don't think it necessarily showed the how the community can get involved. I mean, do you have like something big with a big chorus on it that we can show the people kind of what you mean by that?
There was a traditional song, let's see, Juliana, that Barry Finn used to do a lot. And Barry and I used to kind of split the song, and he sang his half, I sang my half. And Barry was an amazing musician, which is really, really cool.
Yeah, he definitely was. In fact, he did London Julie. Is that
London Julie.
London Julie.
That's the song that's one of my favorites.
So I have scheduled on the show a group of women shanty singers that are coming on the last week of August that are calling themselves London Julie.
Cool.
Yeah, and they're women shanty singers, and they're going to come on and show us how the ladies do it, I guess, you know. But before they do that, we should probably give them a primer on, you know, what you mean by the... We should talk about how these songs can help bring a community together. Yeah. Just in terms of the choruses, even, or... go ahead.
Well, it's... most of the songs came from... actually work songs from railroads, like Patty on the Railroad, slaving songs, field songs, migrant workers, Chinese immigrants, the Irish immigrants, and everything back in the 1800s traveled around the world by water. And when you were working on larger vessels, you'd have to have a shantyman or three, usually one for each mast on a brig or a barkentine, working with a captain. And you would be doing different things on each mast, and each shantyman would be doing his own thing that were being called out by the mate, so that everybody would work in unison. It was all call and chorus. Once a shantyman would say his part, the crew would come back with the refrain and the chorus. So they would pull to that in unison, or heave into that in unison, like a capstan shanty or a pumping shanty, where they have repetitive choruses, which are a lot of fun to do, and people get the idea of it right away. When the community comes in, people that have never sung before will just pick up the chorus and sing right along with us. And if they don't, I'll go sit next to them so that they can sing. And we have fun that way.
I have a do you have an example of like a favorite capstan shanty, for example, that you have that people could hear that I could put on?
Let's see. A capstan shanty. I don't know whether I got it.
Or maybe any kind of shanty that has a specific purpose that you're thinking. What do you have on that? What's at the top of your list that we can share with people and talk about?
One of my favorites, again, was...
They have like a pile. Peter brought in like a pile of awesome sea shanty CDs.
Lots,
you know,
of them.
And there's so many of them, because the world is bigger. That, you know, the world of this maritime music is bigger than you might imagine.
It's kind of fun here because I got one on track 8 from Joe Stead out from the Kimbersmen.
Okay.
Which is really a cool thing. And actually, Joe just sent me an email yesterday. The Kimbersmen have been around for a long time. And Charlie Ipkar's Yangtze River that I do also, I have a little bit different version. Joe is putting that, with the help of Charlie and maybe my umph and my voice, on his newest CD, and he's going to send me a copy of that to my new home address. So,
all right, let's listen to this again. Here we go.
South Australia, I was born.
Heave away, haul away.
South Australia, round Cape Horn.
We're bound to South Australia. Heave away, you rolling kings. Heave away, all the way. Heave away, you'll hear me sing. We're bound to South Australia.
There's a packet anchored off the pier.
Heave away, all the way.
A bar ashore with foaming beer.
We're bound to South Australia. Heave away, you rolling kings. Heave away, all the way.
Okay, so this is what I was asking about something that had a big chorus. Explain what I've heard these basically only in pub settings, and of course I've never been on one of these boats, but what might have been somebody been doing while something like this was going on?
Well, they would be pulling the sheets up with halyards, which are the lines on the vessel. They could be raising an anchor. They could be working the pumps. Anything heaving and hauling that would be attached to a line that would require physical labor and lots of people. Stamp-and-go shanty, which is basically a run-and-go. We are pulling long lengths of line, and everybody runs around in a circle. About 30 people will pull a line and just keep running and singing, like, which is the Drunken Sailor song.
The Drunken Sailor, yeah. The very well-known Drunken Sailor song. What would you do with the Drunken Sailor?
What is it? The canticle of the inebriated... seaman, yes.
Canticle of the inebriated seaman. Do you ever sing that?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
It's a fun song to sing, and actually that's on Joe's CD too, so...
Is that on the CD that we're listening to right now? Yeah. What track is that? I want to give people an idea of one of the differences between the two. Because this here is obviously... Well, here we go. There, heave, something like that. I don't know when they'd be heaving.
It's track four.
So I'm going to go to track four for just 1 second, because I'd like to share with people some of the differences.
What shall we do with a drunken sailor?
What shall we do with a drunken sailor? What shall we do with a drunken sailor? A lie in the morning.
Way hey.
And up she rises, paint and blocks of different sizes.
Way hey.
And up she rises, a lie in the morning.
Let him taste the boat.
This is just slightly different than I remember having
heard. Oh, yeah.
It's great.
Oh, yeah. Joe is awesome. He's a great guy.
So what's happening here, which is different than the other ones, is that the other one they were heaving and hauling, and this one they're basically walking around in a circle.
They're taking the line and running backwards with it. Basically, probably about 15 people working a line, pulling a line all the way up to the top of a mast.
And this was for something that was like a longer haul.
It has to be a constant motion with constant tension on the line.
Constant motion with constant tension.
So
this sounds like the story of my life.
So there's constant movement. So there's no slack.
No slack. All right. Well, then there goes the story of my life.
That's not good.
Hey, I have a question. Though. You said that you mentioned that you had sea captains in your family.
Yes, I did. I had two.
You had two, but they were schooner captains.
Yeah, they were. One of them was from the L.A. Dunton, which is based down in Mystic Seaport.
Oh, really?
His original berth is on that vessel. I actually got to sign the family book, Captain Lou Skinner. I got to sign the family book 3 years ago, and there were only 8 names in there that had signed the family book. And I wrote a full page dedicated to my Uncle Lou, who I knew until I was 30-something years old. He worked 3 fishing vessels out of New Bedford till he was 78 years old himself physically, and he died at 94 without being ill.
He worked until he was 78 years old on a fishing vessel?
Yep.
Wow.
Amazing man.
That is amazing. I've never even heard of that. But they didn't sing shanties on these.
No, they didn't. They sang forecastle songs.
Oh, they did?
Forecastle, forecastle songs.
Okay, so tell people what that is, though.
A forecastle song is basically a song... could be a lullaby, like Yeho, Little Fish, out of Captain's Courageous.
Well, sure, yeah.
Which was a Portuguese lullaby, actually. It's a beautiful song. And, anything that would equate to a song that would make fishermen or sailors happy, that could be sung at night or at time of rest down in the forecastle, where they'd serve grub and sleep.
No, what is the forecastle exactly?
Forecastle
again?
Is the peak of the vessel where bunks are, usually where the galley is, and that's where the fishermen would sleep.
So like a forecastle song is what you're calling a living quarters song. It's like a living and eating quarters song. Yeah. It's where they hung out.
People would just sing. There would be no work going on, but they would sing just nice songs.
Okay.
It didn't have to be a shanty, or it didn't have to be anything else. It could just be a song that they liked.
So they were out fishing or whatever, and then when they couldn't flip the radio on, so they came downstairs and decided to sing a little bit. And that's like a totally different type of song.
Absolutely.
I mean, it could be anything. I mean, I have to say, I'm asking you about this for my listeners, you know, but I've been singing the maritime music for a while, and the funny thing is you can sing anything you want when it's a folksle song.
Absolutely.
I could sing a Beatles song and say, this is a folksle. No, it's a folksle song. I would sing this if I was on the folksle right now. It's what I enjoy.
But, you know, one of my favorites is Bye Bye My Rosianna, which I really like.
That's not a shanty at all?
It could be called a rowing song.
A rowing song?
You know, you can row to that motion, but I still think that is more of a folksle song that could be sung, and it's depending on the speed of the version is sung, you could push it into a rowing song, which is really neat.
Yeah. Well, you have an example. Can we play it for people, or what do you have? What do you have up next? Let's talk about that.
Well, one of the things that I was really interested in was several years ago. One of my good friends, Peter Marston. Peter was the captain of the Mimi. He was actually Captain Granville, I think, for PBS publications and so forth. And Peter, when he decided to pack up his sea music and stuff when he was 73, somewhere around the years old, maybe a little bit younger, turned around and just handed everything over to me. He says, "I want you to be me." And
wow.
Kind of shocked me because I wasn't ready for that. I didn't think I was ready for it, but he put his hands on my shoulders and gave me a big hug, and off I went. And little did I know that that would stick inside of me with the force that man had still moving forward. And I love the guy dearly, and he really was a leading edge marker as to why I got involved in this, because he did a lot of educational stuff with kids and did a lot of sailing around the world, basically on the Mimi.
Why does that sound so familiar to me?
Because there's the book.
I've seen this book.
Yeah.
The Mimi, Songs of the Sea, is sung by the crew. And you said that he had something to do with PBS as well?
I think it was PBS or some public... he was involved in public service, but he did a lot of stuff in regards to education, television stuff. And
What did he do on television?
He did The Voyage of the Mimi.
The Voyage of the Mimi. Yeah. I almost feel like I saw that when I was a kid.
It was televised.
It's
almost like National Geographic type stuff. Voyaged around the world. He had a crew.
Did he have like a unique crew with all special abilities or something? Was one of them deaf or something?
He had Ben Affleck as one of the crew.
Oh, he had Ben Affleck as one of the crew? Yeah. I don't know. I saw something where like one of them was deaf and one of them was this and that. And I almost feel like that was The Voyage of the Mimi, but I'm not sure. You know,
he took kids out and sailed them to different places and taught them seamanship and how to survive on their own. You know,
and he gave you, he handed you his
all of his
stash?
Personal belongings.
His personal belongings?
Like the stuff that he did on the Mimi, because I was involved at the Schooner Adventure for about 12 years of my life, and a lot of the educational programs are going to be based on a lot of the stuff that Peter did for the Schooner Adventure.
Wow. Wow, and that's unbelievable. Okay, the Schooner Adventure, and now that is that's a ship that's down, being built?
That's being rebuilt in Gloucester. That's about $3 million into it right now, and hopefully some of the success will come along by... this fall, and she'll have an engine put in her, and hopefully they'll be able to get out in the harbor this year in September. That's at least the goal. So I'm kind of hoping to see that come to fruition, because it's been a long haul. It's been in Gloucester since 86, 88, when Captain Sharp turned it over to the city of Gloucester as a token of the fishing industry, and Gloucester should have its own schooner.
But sure seems like it. I mean, and we should explain why Gloucester should have its own schooner.
Gloucester was a kingpin of the fishing community for the entire world for probably about 100 years. It fed the world from the sea. and probably up until, let's say, 30 years ago. And I can remember as a kid in the 60s and 50s, there were 80 to 100 large vessels in the harbor, some of them over 65, 70 feet, and that was the majority of the sizes back in the 50s. Right now, there's probably about a dozen large vessels left in the harbor, if that.
Of modern fishing, yeah, vessels. Yeah. I mean, didn't the Gorton's fishermen come from Gloucester? I mean, yeah, isn't that the idea? Isn't, yeah, there Gorton's is a big...
Gorton's of Gloucester with a yellow slicker on. And
yeah, with the yellow slicker, yeah, and that's... 18th, is that what you're... You 18th, look a little like if you put that stuff on, you'd fit right in.
Actually, I've had pictures taken of me with a yellow slicker. I had a lady chase me around off one of the cruise ships and wouldn't leave me alone. She was about 75 years old, and I had to take a picture with her because her husband was a retired butcher from Chicago, and he had his knives with him. It was pretty funny.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, I ran into the guy that does Highliner Foods the other day.
Yeah,
but he says that, you know, first of all, he says that they, you know, that Gorton's is nothing compared to Highliner Foods.
Highliner is a good company, too.
And that they do all kinds of experimental industrial food.
Yeah, it's great.
Which is in stark contrast, I'm sure. Well, actually, I don't think I'm allowed to put anything like this. I have to make an announcement. It's an underwriting announcement right here. So I'm just going to back off what I was about to say. Programming on Portsmouth Community Radio is made possible by you, our members, and by the Seacoast Growers Association, presenting farmers markets in the Seacoast region for 32 years with local produce, meats, prepared foods, garden plants, and handcrafted goods, seacoastgrowers.org. And you are tuned to 106.1 FM WSCA LP Portsmouth. We are Portsmouth Community Radio. I also want to let you know that there's a musical calendar that I should probably let you know about. There are many musical events coming up here in Portsmouth, and I'm trying to find the list of them. I'll tell you what, if you don't know about it, every Wednesday night there's a concert down in Prescott Park where I work as a gardener usually during the week. I take great pride in that. But there's movies down there, but there's a live concert every Wednesday night. Also on Friday night, if you're around and you want to hear some kind of maritime music, there's a session that I try to go to on Fridays down at the press room. The third Saturday of the month, there's specifically a sea shanty session, and that is in the afternoon on Saturdays. There's also a traditional music session on Sundays at Reraz, and also Oran Moore plays on Monday nights, which are two guys that I know. They play a lot of Irish stuff on Monday nights. It's not really a session, but it's definitely a musical happening. And they do a lot of the Irish chestnuts and stuff like that, and basically anything they want. That's on Monday nights. And those are all the musical events that I know that are happening. What's happening down in Gloucester during the week or in that area?
Gloucester has a lot of music popped up in it over the past several years. It's kind of nice. We started doing a lot of the shanty stuff about 8 or 9 years ago. There was some music in Gloucester, and all of a sudden the rum line's packed up. They've got a full book, probably five nights a week. What else is down there, Roddy?
The dog bar where we are has
music, several nights a week.
Tavern at Latitude 43, and then over in Manchester at The Landing. The Landing in Manchester has the session on Saturdays.
What's the Jalapenos?
They do music too. That's right.
Jalapenos has music, and there's not to mention
all of Rocky Neck.
There's a lot of little walk-ins around now. Where we actually go down and.
Is this for maritime music specifically, or just music
live,
that you're talking about down?
And
just live music down there, right?
Well, there's definitely a mix. It's people scoring different nights here and there at different places. So.
Okay.
I'm not quite sure which nights own what genre.
So if you're not satisfied by the huge musical diversity of Portsmouth, then pack up, go down to Gloucester.
Gloucester. It's only 45 minutes.
It's not far, and it's a beautiful place
incredible.
To go. And, you know, if you guys, I'd be pretty jealous. We have our own tall ship. They call it the Gundalo.
Yeah.
But it's not that tall.
It's semi-tall.
Fact is, Portsmouth has a huge maritime history, and most people probably wouldn't even consider making a gundalo and then calling it a tall ship, and then but we have this river and barging, and I mean, the tall ships are the ones that steal all the thunder.
Yeah.
It's the barges that did tons and tons of work around here. you know, moving all the stuff from the tall ships all over the place, upriver to places like Newmarket and wherever else. But you know about barging songs. I'm talking to preaching the choir here. I don't know anything. You know this stuff.
There's an incredible song by George Ward called The Boatman's Cure about the barges in the Erie Canal. Just this phenomenal. All of the verses end up best cure for whatever it is a bottle of rum. So there's probably a lot of drinking going back on when they were doing the barge work, because that was heavy work with the mules and going up and down the rivers and the canals. Lowell has a lot of canals too, so it's pretty interesting. The lengths of water run pretty deep. You know, it's pretty neat. We've got some interesting stuff coming up too, so it's kind of nice to see this start to blossom again, because I know several years ago I was down in Rhode Island, and the sea music had basically disappeared from Rhode Island. It was almost disappeared out of Gloucester for a while, and you know, the thing is to do what Portsmouth has done, is wrestle things back together. And you know, a lot of people have put a lot of time in, Tom Hall and Lynn Scholes and you, and you know, there's a lot of people up here, Bruce McIntyre, Jeff Warner, and the Portsmouth Maritime Festival is an incredible festival. I've been singing at that now for, I think, 6 or 7 years, and it's just a wonderful festival, and it's all free. There's a lot of great participation up here, and it's that's what's needed to make a lot of this stuff work.
I agree with you on that. Yeah. And the fact that it's free and the fact that it happens all over town,
yep,
is pretty important. So you don't have to go seek it out. In fact, it's right there for you.
Yeah. Yeah.
If you like bagels, they're going to be at the Bagel Works. I think they're usually the Bagel Works, and then they're by Breaking New Grounds, and then usually there's something at the Athenaeum that's happening. Nobody knows where the Athenaeum is. You're like, oh, it's at the Athenaeum. They're like, where is that? Little do they know, it's right smack dab in the middle of town, and even if you were standing outside of it, you may not even know that you were near it.
It's
Isn't
an
that
incredible
funny about
place
that?
To sing.
Totally incredible place. I mean, and it has portraits of some amazing things. Hey, for my listeners, you're listening to Local Folk, and I'm here, your host, Steve Carrigan, and I'm chatting with Peter Souza and Audie Lane. I haven't really been talking with Audie as much, but she's been gesturing to me.
Oh, yeah, radio. They can't see me.
Nobody could see her, but she's very involved in the conversation, just not audibly.
That's a good thing.
That's a good thing.
It's fine.
Speaking of audible.
No, I mean the gesturing. It's a good thing.
Gesturing's good. It's confirming what we're doing here. She's like, right on. Yeah. Hey, that's a good point. You know, hey, you know, I agree with that. All in gesture. Yeah,
yes.
All in gesture.
I don't want to interrupt either.
No.
The thing is to have fun with us, too. And we really have enjoyed the music. We've had a couple of groups together, and we sang with Knockabout. We did a really nice concert up in for the Folk Song Society of Greater Boston, and had Three Sheets to the Wind, which is still going around. And
that was
a large shanty group, and we've got a lot of things that are coming up in the future and lined up. But the key element in my mind is to make this people-oriented and community-spirited thing that you can just enjoy and have fun with, because it is fun. It's a tremendous learning experience, and you know, I just can't say how good this makes you feel when you put on your clothes and you walk out the house and say, I'm going to go out, and you walk out the door and you're singing a shanty or a song that's relative to something you really like, because it truly lifts your spirits. And when other people see you doing that, I think they also have their spirits lifted. Audie and I just did a going away song for a pastor who was an interim pastor to the Lutheran Church in Topsfield. And a lot of the music that Audie does is tremendous gospel music and hymns and real spiritual stuff. And we actually picked a song called Row On, which is a sea song, but it's a great song. It's about leaving, and the pastor was leaving, and we actually sang that song in church for the pastor, and it was just an amazing song. It was really pretty, and everybody enjoyed it, and it was a little bit different than what was normally done. So we've been able to bring in some of our stuff into the church environment, and people loved it.
It's unbelievable. And I know that down in Mystic as well, I know at least Barbara Benn did something called the Siemens Bethel, which was sort of a reversal of that, where it was some of this
hymn-type
music. Being brought to the sailors. Hey, let's listen to some music, because you brought a big stack of CDs, and I'm like drooling here. I'm like, I need to hear from your CDs. I'm salivating over your CD collection over here. I want to share with people, you know, some examples of what this is all about. You know, it to me, you know, because I've been involved in this for so many years, and, you know, one of the reasons I even have a radio program is because of the community that I love that performs maritime music. But
well, this is a CD by Ian McCall and A.L. Lloyd. I think a couple of the cuts on here, cut two, Patty Doyle, just gives you a real quick
is that Patty Doyle in his boots?
Let's play that cut two.
I'll play the whole thing.
Whoop Jamboree 9, Banks of Newfoundland. There's a whole pile of good stuff on here, and this is one of my favorite shanty CDs because it is.
Okay, let me see. I'm going to give you back this one right here. Okay. I'm going to play the whole thing of Patty Doyle's Boots, and I want to give, I want to share this with people because it's a very...
it's stunning.
It might, let's see, it's track number two here. Please, don't be too shocked by this song. Here we go.
To me, way! To me, way, yay, 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 we'll all drink whiskey and gin. To me, way, yay, 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 we'll all shave under the chin.
Whoa. That is Patty Doyle's Boots, or Patty Doyle, as it's called on this. And I have to say that that is a work song, which fits right in very well to my kind of work day. What do you think?
Shoveling and gardening. And
bring the dirt home.
I guess what I mean is short but sweet.
Oh, right.
In fact, that might be the longest version of Patty Doyle I've ever heard.
I like that. It's a nice thing to open people's eyes with when they walk into a pub and they start coming out with that and actually banging on the table after the end of the refrain, like the hall is going on with the lines.
Doesn't that one have to do with the sails, like banging in and out, furling the sails?
Yeah, you can use that for two or three different types of shanties. I mean, everybody comes up with names for shanties, like long drag shanties, short drag shanties. You can call them traditional things, but basically shanties were used for heaving and hauling. And one of the tough jobs for a shanty man was he was the liaison between the captain, and if he worked a bit too slow, the captain got mad at him.
Right.
And if you worked a little bit too fast, you had a whole bunch of people on the same vessel that didn't like you very well. So you had to come up with a happy medium. Even though you got a different share than others, you were treated a little bit differently. It was a good job. It was a good job.
So the shantyman is kind of like the modern equivalent of, like, on those Roman slave vessels, the guy that would pound the drums.
Yeah, the Phoenicians. I actually did a lot of history tracing shanties back, and the Phoenicians were actually some of the few first people that come up with the idea of chanting along with a drum, which I kind of traced back several years ago when I was doing research on shanties. It was interesting.
So those guys that were like shackled to the oar were chanting?
Yeah. Well, screaming. One or the other.
Hey, whatever you want to call it. We're just going to call it chanting.
As long as they didn't get hit, you know. It's probably happy.
I'm chanting. Hey, here's something a little bit different. I want to play some of the Whoop Jamboree because it's in total contrast, I think, to the Patty Doyle's, although I haven't heard this version. This is Whoop Jamboree.
The pilot, he looks out ahead with a hand in the chains, a heaving of the lid, and the old man roars to wake the dead. Come and get your oats, me son.
Hop jamboree, hop jamboree, your long-tailed black man, come up behind. Hop jamboree, hop jamboree, trying to get your oats, me son.
Oh, now we're past the lizard lights, and the start me boys will heave in sight. Soon be abreast of the Isle of Wight. Come and get your oats, me son.
Hop jamboree, hop jamboree, long-tailed black man, come up behind. Hop jamboree, hop jamboree, Johnny, get your oats, me son.
Oh, when we get to the black wool ducks, them pretty young gals come down in flocks with a short leg drawers and long-tailed frocks. Come and get your oats, me son.
Hop jamboree, hop jamboree, your long-tailed black man, come up behind. Hop jamboree, hop jamboree, Johnny, get your oats, me son.
You're listening to Local Folk here on WSCA, and we just listened to a quick pair of songs. And it's funny, this is a album by Ewan McCall and A.L. Lloyd, both of which have been mentioned on this program, but just to give people an idea, didn't Ewan McCall write Dirty Old Town?
Yes.
Okay, so this is the same person that wrote Dirty Old Town, which is sung, I think, everywhere.
Lots of places.
lots of places. But, I mean, just to show you where Dirty Old Town is coming from, it's coming from, you know, Ewan McCall and A.L. Lloyd as well, who I've also mentioned on the show, but I'm trying to recall exactly where that came up, and it may have been with, boy, I'm not exactly sure. But you know what else is funny is that the name of this album is Blow Boys Blow,
yeah.
And a few weeks ago, I did a program about how I got to the music, and one of the first songs that was ever introduced to me that I should perform was called "The Sacramento."
Yeah,
and it, blow yeah. boys, blow. And I'm like, I'm not singing that. What do you take me for? Is this a joke song?
Great song.
It is a great song, but I mean, you know. As someone who's never heard it, how do you get over the vernacular, you know, at first? Maybe you've just been listening to it for so long that it's perfectly fine, but when people are like, blow me, bully boys, blow. I mean, you know, if we weren't talking about Shanties, I wouldn't be allowed to say that.
Yeah. People need to get over the stigmas of, these are not politically correct words in a lot of these things, and when we do school programs, we have to kind of augment what we do and, you know, be very cautious and go in and do the right things, which we do. We do a great job at that.
Well, do you just choose music that doesn't have that, or do you don't even get into it, do you?
Yes, we just leave everything out.
Okay, because that doesn't even mean, I mean, you're saying it's not politically correct, but that's not what they're talking about anyways. They're talking about the winds blowing and whatever else, but... let's talk about your educational seminars that you do, because how do you go about doing this as a musician? It's not your full time job, musicianing. Okay, but you choose to do this, and
my life has been linear particle accelerators for 39 years.
Linear particle accelerators.
Ion implantation equipment.
Holy smoly! I don't even know what that is.
I don't know.
We don't make pizzas.
No. We don't make. That's too bad. It'd probably be a very linear pizza. It'd be very symmetrical.
It'd be accelerated.
It'd be very accelerated. It'd be fast food to the next level.
What does it mean?
Anywho, but you do these. So after a long day of linear particle accelerationing. What makes you want to go out and teach kids about this stuff? Is it because why is it important for you to share with people this information, this life?
Well, back to community again, which we were talking about earlier, that when we go in there, we talk about where their families came from and what it means to have arrived here, and all the music. And the history and the music really describes a lot of the work that got people here. And that's important for kids to understand.
So you go in and you say, hey, you weren't hatched out of an egg.
Yeah,
right.
Absolutely. And it's amazing how many kids just don't look back 50, 60, 70 years. Their grandparents weren't here, their great-grandparents. I traced my lineage back on both sides, the Portuguese side. My cousins have done this, actually. My Newfoundland family home from 1820 is still intact, and that was my grandmother's. And I have my 1820 heritage from my Portuguese side, from the Azores, too. And it's kind of neat to look back, but a lot of kids today don't have that. And that's what we try to do, is go in and say, take a look backwards and see where you came from, see where your grandparents came from, see what you were, see who you are now. You know, work was hard.
So if you, you knew about it because your folks told you about it, but do you ever see that look on the kid's face, like that aha moment or something? Like,
Yeah.
We actually get kids up and sing with us. It's pretty cool. I think we got 5 or 6 kids the last time.
Yeah, they understood really quickly about how to keep in time together as a large group of people and what that might feel like to do something in time, and that rhythm is really important to getting the work done efficiently. And they actually, it was a really neat thing for them to begin to recognize that.
Do you think that that message of working together is in any way in contrast to the way people perceive children as being raised today, sort of as precious snowflakes or something?
Precious.
Yeah.
But they can be precious together.
You know, I mean, it's times have changed. I mean, you look at the past 50, 60 years. Things have changed for kids. They've got all the electronics. They don't get out. They don't get their hands dirty. They don't run around. There's a lot of kids that don't do things like that. And to have something to hold on to from the past, to me, has always been important. I have a scrimshot sword off the schooner Columbia that belonged to my great uncle that was given to me when I was a young man.
That's unbelievable.
You don't have that, you mean?
And, I don't even have a scrimshaw rigging knife. I've always wanted one of those, but a sword is like twice as good, at least.
It was a swordfish bill that was scrimshawed.
Wow.
And I have that in my possession, and I'm extremely happy that I have that.
Yeah.
My aunt gave that to me when I was 10 years old.
Not every kid's going to have that history.
Well, no, not
course,
even close. I mean, some people may not even know their own one or more of their own parents, you know?
Right.
And
it's true.
So, you know, if they want to go looking for it, they're going to have to dig for it.
Yeah.
But, you know, I think that can have some real value, bring something real to them, mm-hmm. you know, get them out of the computer.
And the good thing is we've been invited back. So, I mean, it's kind of nice when you walk out of some place and, you look at each other and say, hey, did we do this right? Did we do this wrong? You know, how did we do? And you walk down the street and we're down in Rockport. We did a group of high school kids. We did about 2 45-minute sessions and, we're in an area down Rockport. We walked by, and one of the kids just told, "Hey, Mr. Souza." I was like, "Wow!" You know, he was at the session that we did in school, and he was really appreciative of it. So, you know, you almost feel like good that you know he understood.
So, do you give them some sort of, you know, call to action or something, like, hey, go out and look for this stuff? Or is it, you know, or, you know, it's more than just playing some songs and in and out, though, right? I mean,
I think what we're giving them is just this last one that we did was with the little guys. It was like first and third graders. So so for a lot of them to have like corporate music experience at all, especially in a large group like that, might have felt really strange and exciting. So they were in a large auditorium, and then we told them to stomp their feet.
Wow.
And it was like, for their faces, we're like, okay, we're going to do this and not get in trouble. Mm. It was like a big deal. But then, like I said, it didn't take them very long to be doing that all together and to be realizing that they were creating the rhythm to our song that we were singing for them. So they were our drum. And to realize that that is something that they have with them all the time. They have their little rhythm maker with them all the time whenever they want to sing. They have the ability to do that, and that was that aha moment for a lot of them, is that like, we are part of this.
That's
and that
great.
Brings you back to that idea of community. And I feel that there are adults who walk into our shanty sing on Monday nights at the Dog Bar, and they walk in and they have that same realization kind of over again, that music is something that they can be a part of, and that's a pretty cool thing,
part of and be part of that community.
Yeah, absolutely.
We only have a few minutes left. I'd love you to pick out a song that we could exit to, basically. I mean, it could be any number of things, so I can cue that up, but then I also just want to talk about maybe where you guys are going to be next, or, you know, what the future holds while we're doing that.
Whoa, we got a bunch of stuff coming up. I actually want to, you know, John Roberts and Tony, again, I've just known, and Danny Spooner, but I think one of the people that has been extremely phenomenal in the C music stuff was Peter Bellamy. It was absolutely brilliant, man. Multiple CDs, but one of my favorite songs is off the Transports, which is a C music opera that Peter Bellamy wrote. And
really,
it's really, this is one of the original versions that John Roberts gave me. And it's called A Human Turnkey.
So this is not Kipling. This is not a Kipling thing that he did.
This is track 15. It's kind of not a shanty, but it's an interesting song to end up with.
Well, we don't need the human
turnkey. That's a British spelling. Human. It's not very humane. It's about Norwich Jail, actually.
It's about Norwich Jail. No, that's not even close. Okay.
But it's a
wait a minute.
Uh-oh, no CD in there,
no
sorry.
No CD.
But
Inhumane.
Well, that's one Inhumane. Favorite song. Never mind about that one.
Never mind about that one. We don't really need to know
We'll try the Johnson Girls.
We'll try the Johnson Girls because I actually have the...
We have a lot of fun with these guys.
I have the Portsmouth's own version, somewhat, I think I'm going to say, of the Johnson Girls that are coming on in probably about a month at the end of August.
Track 5 is great. That's the Keyboard River.
Track number 5. Now, this is interesting because women weren't really allowed on the boats. So.
Yeah.
But what is it that you wanted to play for? But here they are playing the songs and enjoying them because, you know, at this point, it's not about actually being on a boat. Like I said, you may have climbed up the, what did you call it, the Ratlins.
Ratlins. Shrouds.
The Shrouds and the Ratlins.
Not your
onto those
place
platforms up there. No,
it's not fun, but
yeah, but you could do it if you had to, right? Most people I know that do this.
Most people wouldn't want to do that, but when you're young and whatever, it's a lot easier.
All right. Hey, if people want to get in touch with you guys, should I just give me your email address?
Yeah.
Listen, if you want to hear more about this from Audie and Peter, you can email Peter Souza at P-S-O-U-Z-A-S-E-A, psouzac@gmail.com. All right. And you can also find, is it Three Sheets to the Wind that's on Facebook, or is it?
It's Gloucester Shanty Group.
Gloucester Shanty Group.
On my own Facebook page.
Is on Facebook. Okay. Or Peter Souza, right, on your Facebook page. And is there a public event that people could see you coming up at anytime soon?
Yes, there is. We're doing an event on, let's see, it's in August with John Roberts. We're doing
August 7th.
Concert up in Greenfield, New Hampshire, to our concert at night evening with John. And that's coming up, I think it's August 7th.
A Tuesday.
Tuesday evening.
It's a shanty concert.
It's a complete sea music concert.
Complete sea
music
concert.
And then we'll be at the Nagel Fisheries. We're going in on Wednesday night to
Seafood Festival.
Seafood Festival.
Looks like we're going to be doing some shanties there.
I think so, as you sit there and catch the fish and eat the fish and cook the fish.
Yes, eat the fish.
Awesome. Eat the fish is the really exciting part.
And that's on September 29th. And then on the 30th, we'll be up here in Portsmouth at the Portsmouth Maritime Festival, which is one of my favorite festivals. And I hope anybody out there that has the time can take a trip up here and come up and see this great city and the people that are in it and the performers that will be here, because we've got an exceptional crew coming in this year.
I cannot wait. Peter, Audie, thank you for taking the time to come up here and appear with me here on Local Folk.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thanks
and
for having us.
You're welcome. And to my listeners out there, we will see you next week, and we are leaving you with a song from the Johnson Girls.
Yay.
Essequibo River is the queen of rivers all.
Puritanana, we are somebody, oh.
Essequibo River is the queen of rivers all.
Puritanana, we are somebody, oh.
Somebody, oh, Johnny.
Somebody, oh. Buritanana, we are somebody, oh. Somebody, oh, Johnny, somebody, oh. Bootytanana, we are somebody, oh.
Essequibo captain is the king of captains, oh.
Bootytanana, we are somebody, oh.
Essequibo captain is the king of captains, oh!
Bootytanana, we are somebody, oh!
Somebody, oh, Johnny!
Somebody, oh! Bootytanana, we are somebody, oh! Somebody, oh, Johnny! Somebody, oh! Bootytanana, we are somebody, oh!
Essequibo sailor is the chief of sailors, oh!
Bootytanana, we are somebody, oh!
Essequibo sailor is the chief of sailors, oh!
Bootytanana, we are somebody, oh!
Somebody, oh, Johnny!
Somebody, oh! Bootytanana, we are somebody, oh! Somebody, oh, Johnny! Somebody, oh! Bootytanana, we are somebody, oh!
Essequibo Sally is the queen of Sally's, oh!
Bootytanana, we are somebody, oh!
Essequibo Sally is the queen of Sally's, oh!
Bootytanana, we are somebody, oh!
Somebody, oh, Johnny!
Somebody, oh! Bootytanana, we are somebody, oh! Somebody, oh, Johnny, somebody, oh. Bootytanana, we are somebody, oh.